Piskei Halachos. It's Piskei Tshuva, sorry. I can leave you the photocopy if you want.
Thank you.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai. As always, our limud of Halacha should be a zechus for the refuah shlema of Yosef Dov ben Chayla b'soi shol choyle Yisrael. So, Nishalti, I was asked yesterday by Zev. I don't know if you've got a trip going lots of Shabbos to Antwerp for Malava Malka. Yeah, there are some. You haven't got.
I could do with one.
You could do with one, yeah. But there are some people who go every month to Shabbos in the middle of the winter. They go to Antwerp to Reb Leibish for Malava Malka. And Malava Malka is a Fleischiger Malava Malka. And the food that's served at the Malava Malka, from memory, is cooked specially on Motzah Shabbos. It's not a question of leftovers or something. It's cooked specially, has come in fresh for Motzah Shabbos. So the question is, can you eat Fleischigs this Motzah Shabbos? Next Motzah Shabbos, unfortunately, you can't eat anything. But this week Motzah Shabbos, tomorrow night is already base, the second day of the 9 days. And we've got an Issa of Bosa and Yain during the 9 days. So we're matir for Sudas Mitzvah, for a Bar Mitzvah, for a Bris Milah, for a Pidyon HaBen. And some people make a Siyum Masechta every night. And they have a Sudas Mitzvah. What? Rabbi Schneeberg does? Yeah. There are shuls, there are people. This is the whole discussion as to whether or not, if you finished your Masechta in the 9 days and you want to make a Siyum, because today we finished the Masechta, then clearly that's a Siyum Masechta and you make a Suda, Fleishig a Suda. Question is, if you finished the Masechta 3 months ago and you wait till now to make the Suda's Mitzvah, whether or not that's legitimate within the 9 days, ask your local rabbi. Of Al Kolponim, Suda's Mitzvah, you can eat Fleish during the 9 days. Bosa V'yayin is Mutter at a Suda's Mitzvah. The question it will be, what about Malava Malka? Is Malava Malka enough of a Suda's Mitzvah? The Chidor who deals with this is thinking of it from another aspect. The Chidor is talking about what happens if you've got food left over from Shabbos. And in those days, you could not keep the food. Right? 200 years ago, or I don't know how long the Chidor lived, 150, 200 years ago, right? There were no facilities for keeping. So if I've got Fleishigs left over from Shabbos, and the earliest time I'm going to be able to eat it is going to be Monday a week after Tisha B'Av, then that food is just going to go to waste and it's going to get lost, and people couldn't afford, besides the question of Baltashkis, people couldn't afford to lose it. So the question is, if I don't want to waste the food and I've got leftover from Shabbos, can I eat it?
And you don't have a freezer.
And I haven't got a fridge and I haven't got a freezer. And the Poskim do say, and we'll come to that in a minute, today might be different. But in those days, the food was either going to get lost or not at all. The B'nai Yisoscha, when he's discussing this Inyan, he says, he looks at it from another angle. He says like this. He says, if you tell people that they're not allowed to eat the leftover flesh from Shabbos, the food that's left over for Shabbos, then they're going to be mitzamtzim. They're going to work out before Shabbos exactly how much I need. Like Erev Pesach, when you're working out how much chometz I need, so as to make sure that I finish it all off, because I can't eat it on Motzei Shabbos, I can't eat it on Sunday. And in fact, the B'nai Yisoscha and the what's, well, not speaking specifically about Motzei Shabbos, about Malava Malka, they're saying, in the 9 days, if I've got meat left over from Shabbos, can I eat it up in order that it shouldn't go to waste? So maybe I'll eat it on Sunday, or I'll eat it on Monday. We're not specifically Malava Malka. But that's the question. So the Chidor was worried that the food will go to waste. Ibn Yisoscha was worried that because you don't want the food to go to waste, if we forbid you to eat it, then you will be mezalzel in kavod Shabbos, because you'll work out to the spoonful exactly how much I need for Shabbos, and there might be too little, and it might be stingy, and it might, somebody might want some more and say, please can I have some more, and there isn't any more because we've worked it out precisely exactly to know how much. So therefore, both the Chidor and the B'nai Yisoscha say that you can finish off the leftovers from Shabbos. You can finish off the leftovers during the 9 days. Afal Piken, it says two things. The Chidor writes, He says, although logically this should be right, but nevertheless, I don't think that's the minhag of people. And the Bnei Sosra writes down, again, logic it should be, but the fact is that nobody wants to eat meat during the 9 days. So what the Poskim says is as follows, especially today, because we have fridges, because we have freezers, and there isn't this problem of Valtashkis, you can freeze it. It might not be so great when it comes out and it's reheated, but Afal Pikein, it doesn't need to go to waste, we don't need to throw it away. Therefore, Bizman Hazeh, we're not matir that you should eat the leftovers of Shabbos during the 9 days, but somebody who eats a Fleishig and Malava Malka every week, if he's makpid, that on every Motzei Shabbos, like by Rav Leibish, they eat a Fleishig and Malava Malka every week, that's like a sort of mitzvah for them, and they can eat a Fleishig and Malava Malka this Motzei Shabbos as well.
Go ahead. Not because of Od Yosef Chai says you can eat Fleishig.
Yeah, okay, but that's not problem.
Start today, the Torahway, North West London, Friday, Kof Tes Tammuz, 25th of July.
And there isn't one this week.
Rabbi Chaim Berman, Shlita, who we really are. This week's Torah been sponsored, Lunishmas Morris Martel, Vas, Rukmer, Paul, Alea Sholem, on the 4th Yatsa, on Wednesday, we discuss Hashwim La Chayilim, Bamil Chamosh, Yachzul Vatem, Le Shalom Bim Heiro.
Amen.
We know from the Gemara Menachos, Kol Kaitz V'Kaitz Shel Torah is significant. Every small, what would seemingly be a small detail of the Torah is significant. And Rabbi Akiva would be Dorish Tili Tilim Shel Halachos on every Kutzu Shel Yod, on every small detail in the Torah. It's very significant. I want to look at towards the end of Parashas Matos, the pasuk which is often overlooked and often neglected. Seems fairly straightforward, but we're going to see there's an incredible message. Lekol Chayenu. The pasuk says as following. Actually, can I have a volunteer, please, to hand out some marmokomas. Thank you very much. We have your pile here. Okay. So we have Klal Yisrael's Eva Hayardain. They're getting ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? Reuven, Gad, and half of the Shevet Menashe say we would like to stay in Eva Hayardain. And they capture the land that is there. And this land is called Gilad. And in number one here, the pasuk says as follows. Still more. Let's go. V'yoeh ben Menashe Holach V'yilkoid es Chavoseen. Yoeh went, he captured Chavoseen. Unusual word. What's Chavoseen mean? The villages, Uncle says. Kafraneoi. V'yikra eshen, and he called them Chavos Yoeh. The villages of Yoeh, Uncle explains. I'll give you the whole pile. Okay. The villages of Yoeh. Okay, he named them after himself. He captured those villages, yeah, finders, conquerors, keepers. Okay, next pasuk. V'noivach holach v'yilkiz es kenas. Noivach went. He also captured a city or village. It was kenas v'espenoseh and the environs. V'yikra lo noivach bishmoi, and he called it noivach with his name. Interestingly, there is a slight difference here. V'yikra lo noivach bishmoy in his name. Rashi here on number 2 focuses in on a slightly different nuance. V'yikra lo noivach, if we have any Bali medaktikim, any grammarians here, they'll note that that lo is unusual. Why? Because normally when you have a lo, which is going to say something which is possessive, it was her city, it should have a Mapik K, excellent. And Rashi notes that it doesn't have a Mapik K. There's a Nakuda. And we see where Dorish the details of the Torah, even the dots, and even when the dots are not there. Says Rashi, Lo, he called it Aina Mapik K. Well, normally we would find when it's referring to the feminine, Lo would have a Mapik K, would have a dot and a Nakuda in the middle of the hay. and it's not there. Why not? Says Rashi, Ra'isi b'yisoydi shal Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. I saw from Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, l'fi shaloi neskayim lo shem zeh. The name didn't endure. It was only called Novach for a certain period of time. L'fikachu rofa, therefore it's soft, so to speak, doesn't have the mapik hay. Shemashmot midroshoi, that the mashmos of the medrash is k'moi loy. It's not lo, it's lo. In order that it could be read as loy, it is not. There's a certain negativity. There wasn't kiyom. Chavos yoy had kiyom, and Noivach didn't. In fact, we find Chavos yoy later in Tanakh as well. We find it mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. There's a famous Sefer Alocha Goynes called the Chavos yoy. It's a name which has perpetuality in Klal Yisrael, but Noivach didn't. Why not? And why is it significant to know this? Why do we have to know about this city of Noah? If it didn't exist, it didn't last for very long, why do we have to know? Toh's obviously telling us something. The next question, we're going to have hopefully five questions. The next question, we look at number three. We're talking about what Gad, Reuven, Gad, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe did. They went to Moshe Vayomu and they said, let us build sheep pens, here, and cities for our children. So we've got areas for the livestock and places for our kids. Moshe Rabbeinu answered them, I put there, Anias Moshe, Benulochem, you should build for yourself, Orim Latapchem, cities for your children, Gderois Latzoinachem, and pens for your sheep. And whatever you've said that you will do, you shall do. And what did they respond? They said, Avodecha Yasu, you will do exactly as you said, Kasha Adoni Metzava, as you've commanded, Tapenu Nasheinu Mikneinu, our children, our wives, our livestock, V'chol Bentenu, Yiyu Shom Ba'ar Yagila, they will remain there. What's interesting here in terms of the order?
Well, they changed it around back to what Moshe
said. Right. Initially, when they came to Moshe, they said, let's build things for our cattle, for our possessions. And then only then they mention also for our children. Moshe speaks to them. He tells them the children should be first. Says Rashi, number four. Nivna neknenu poi. Chosim hoyu al mamoino. Yosa mibineyem. They were concerned for their physical possessions more so than their children. Shikdimu Bikneem Latapon. That they proceeded in the order of what they were asking for, their cattle, their children. Moshe could see where their order of priorities were in their life. Omalem Moshe, Luichinasu, this is not correct. Ha ikka ikka va tofel tofel, the main thing should be the main thing, and the what is less important should be less important. Benulochem tchila orim latapchem, first build for your children, vachekein gederis tzoinchem. And only afterwards you should build for your livestock. So we're going to have to see how this relates to the previous Mari Malkam. We're speaking about what the aspirations of Reuven and Gad were. Now, we're going to come back to it. But before we do, we're not so far away from Yom Noroyim. Av is Rosh Tevis Elul Ba. And we're going to read Sefer Yonah. Sefer Yonah, we see a fascinating pasuk. Yonah, there's a stormy, raging tempest at the sea, and the sailors discover Yonah was sleeping in the depth of the boat. Number five, Vayomu Elav, and they said to Yonah, Hagidun Olano, please tell us, why is this happening? Ma malachtecha, what is your profession? Umayan Tavoy, where do you come from? Marat Secha, where is your land? From which nation do you stem? Vayema Alem, and how did he respond? Ivri Anoichi, Chbenayit, Vesayelikea Shomayim, and Yore, and I fear a Kodesh Baruchu. Asher also Sayom Vesayabosha. He didn't, for Mechilas Kvoido, he didn't really answer the question. What do you do? Tell us about yourself. I'm a Yid and I fear Hashem. Didn't answer the question. Al Rishon, what's going on? The next pasuk. In fact, actually, we're going to skip the next pasuk. We'll come back to it soon. In Parashat Nitzavim, we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Klal Yisrael. This Marimakum's not on here. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Lekeichem. You're all here. Rosheichem, Shefteichem, Zikneichem, Shoytreichem, Kol Yish Yisrael. Then it adds on. Tapchem Nesheichem. Gerach Asher Bekerav Machanecha. The Gerim. Mechoytev Eitzecha. For those who are your woodchoppers. And Shev Meimecha. Those who draw your water. Who are they? Who are they? So Rashi says, we find in the times of Yeshua that the Givoinim, they were terrified. They heard about the conquest that Yeshua was doing with Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. They were terrified what was going on. The Givoinim lived there. They thought they would be destroyed as well. So they dressed in foreign clothing. They came to Yeshua and they said to him, we've come from a faraway land and we've heard about the incredible nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael. And we want to be Nichnas Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. And Yeshua accepts them. It turns out they were actually the Givonim. They had disguised themselves. And Yeshua puts them as Sheyavei Mayim, those who will draw the water, and woodchoppers, the Givonim. Rashi says, since they were Sheyavei Meimech, Sheyavei Mayim, the Chitvei Etzecha, so in this pasuk as well, when Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing Klal Yisrael long before the Givonim, it must be that Kananim had come to join Klal Yisrael, Kananim, and they were put as water drawers and wood choppers. Now, in just the Ha'ara about Alman, we see how it fits in, we'll see. But from the fact that the Pasuk says that they were wood choppers and water drawers, that must mean that they're going. Is it not possible to have a Yiddish wood chopper, a carpenter? Yeah. So what's going on? Yeah. In Dutch, I used to live in Holland for a few years. 3 years. And there's a saying in Dutch when you're speaking about a carpenter. It says, a Joodse Timmerman, which means he's a Jewish carpenter, which is not a compliment. So there is such a... So where do we find that it must be talking about goyim? Finally, there are many ways to speak about praising a Kodesh Baruch. Shir, Shvacha, Halal, Zimra, Rina. Every word in Lashon HaKodesh has significance, and there's no such thing as a mila kfela, as total identity, one to the other. What is this word halal? Tomorrow we're going to be saying halal. What is this Lashon of Shevach, the praising of halal, what does it mean specifically? Okay, those are the five questions. Now let's go back and see what we can answer. And this is based on Maimah of Rav Shimon Schwab in Mayon Beis HaShoeva. And he explains as follows. As we began, and we said that Noivach, the Yikra law, without the Mapik Hei, Noivach was only called Noivach for a finite period of time. People make big mistakes, a huge mistake in terms of where they are headed and how they look at their life. How do we define ourselves? How do we look at ourselves as individuals? The way we look at ourselves and the way we narrate to ourselves who we are is important because that defines who we become and where we put our value. And there are some people who continually confuse their sense of self and value with what they own, what their profession is, or what they do. And that means that our identity becomes entangled in things which are actually apart from us, things that don't have kion. What's my value? If my value is connected with my net worth, so to speak, then I've misplaced what my sense of identity or who I am is. It makes it very vulnerable as well, because if my net value, my net worth decreases, then my self-worth decreases as well. It makes me vulnerable because if my self-esteem is based on social esteem, then I've put the keys to my happiness, complacency, equanimity in the hands of other people. And that's dangerous. That's making oneself more vulnerable than one needs to be. The problem with Noivach, and the difference between Noivach and Yoe, was this very problem, explains Rav Schwab. If you look at the pasuk again, that Yoe called the cities Chavos Yoe. These are the cities that belong to Yoe. There's me and there's my possessions. It's not a problem to own a city. No problem. He captured them, they're his. That's okay. The possessions are distinct to the individual. The problem with Noivach, however, Vayikra lo Noivach Bishmoy. It wasn't the city of Noivach. It was Noivach. There's Noivach the person and Noivach the city. Chavos Yoe is the city of Yoe.
What's that? What Chavos mean?
Chavos, villages. Uncle, this is Kafrenele. The villages of Yoe. There is the Mensch Yoe and there's the villages and the cities of Yoe. And it's Nish the Zabozach. The Noivach, Dos is Noivach. And the car, and the watch, and the house. And when you make that mistake, that has no kiyum. Because when we make ourselves dependent on what we own and what we have, there's no kiyum to that. He modeled the difference between what he, who he was and what he owned. And then we start to understand better the Rashi, number 4, with Reuven Gedon Chatzi Shevet Menashe, what the problem with the order was. When they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, first let's make areas for our livestock, says Moshe Rabbeinu, where are your priorities? Who are you? That's not what has kiyum, not what you possess. It's your children. It's for you, for your own. It's for your own. The people is what's important, not the possessions. And that's a beautiful, beautiful, stunning words of Rashi. You have to make sure that the second line there, ha'ikar ikar va tofel tofel. Yeah, there's a famous statement. You have to make sure the main thing is to make sure that the main thing is the main thing. That's what we have to constantly be focused on. Everything else is a means to an end. The car's important, the house is important, the watch is important, the occupation is important, but it's not the main thing of who I am and where I'm headed. There are two different kinds of values that we come across. One is a value called the value of the hesped. Imagine that one day, after 120, they're going to write a double page spread in the Hamodia community pages about you. Yeah? What kind of values are they going to include there? Yeah? And then imagine what the kind of values that we put on a job application for, on a cover letter, on a CV. What am I living for? Am I living for the values that I want for that my family, those who knew me, would say in a hesped? Or is it the kind of things which would appear on a cover letter? Where do we see ourselves? How do we estimate ourselves? And it's so dangerous, because at times what we do is, everyone does to a certain extent, wherever we're headed, we take a ladder and we put a ladder somewhere and we're climbing. And that ladder could be all kinds of different places. It could be a professional ladder. It could be a ladder in our family life, in our shalom bayis, in our tefillah, in our Torah, in our development as an Eved Hashem. The problem is, if we put the ladder in a totally different direction and spend all of our kochos and efforts getting up there, eventually you look down and say, one second, my ladder's in the wrong place. I've ascended to I got to the top of the ladder and I'm in the wrong place, and I now need to move the ladder. So we need to make sure that our ladder's in the right place. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, first tapchem, and then orim, and then miknechem. And they heard it. Yeah? They went to some Rebbe, Taka gave them the correct orientation, and they got the message, and they moved on from it. Now, it's not only dangerous to do it, but it's very futile. Again, as we say, we put our self-esteem in things which are temporary values. Something happens to the house, something else. No, there's a crash on the stock market, so I have an internal crash. That's not safe, not a safe place to do.
So the whole purpose of what they wanted to stay on the East was because it was good pasture land for their flocks. In other words, that was their whole...
That's okay. It's okay if you find... You have to find a place to live. So it's okay to find a place which is it has the Gashmius requirements to have a successful life, but that's not the Ikka. The Ikka is because, so I've got the good Gashmius for my cattle, etc. But the main thing is that I'm there with my family. I'm growing up and building in Yiddish Mishpacha. That should have been the first thing that they're talking about. So now we go back to Yonah. Who are we? How do we define ourselves? So they ask Yonah, these people on the ship. I don't know who they were. He's going. They ask him, "Who are you, Ma Balachtecha?" What does he say? How does he define himself when they ask him, "Who are you? Where'd you come from?" One answer. It's irrelevant what my profession is. That is how I define myself. That is how a Yid defines himself. Now we go back to what we said before. The Torah says it's a category of people that were amongst Klal Yisrael who are woodchoppers and water carriers. Says Rashi, it can't be, we're talking about Yidden, because a Yid never defines himself by their profession. So it must be we're talking about Knanim, like we find by Yeshua, that the Gevonim were woodchoppers and those who drew water. The Torah refers to a certain category of people that were with Klaison. We've had it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that one of them was Shev Meimecha, Chotev Etzecha. If the Torah is defining them by their profession, it can't be that they were a Yid. Because a Yid never defines himself by a profession. Yeah? Okay. Someone asks you, what do you do? You don't have to say, I'm a Yerushim. Yeah? You can answer the question. Oh, but we have to know, how are we defining ourselves? Okay? Yeah.
Who does that identify people like this, right? But Yochanan Asanda and other Tzanun were named by their profession, so it's not unheard of.
It's not unheard of, but the problem is when you've got Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol and you've got another Rabbi Yochanan, there's Rabbi Yochanan Asanda, and you have to distinguish between all of them, then you have to have. Also, Mistama, that if he was known as Rabbi Yochanan Asanda, he was muflag probably, but then modest in his integrity in his profession. So that was his way of being of expressing his Avodas Hashem. Good Ha'orah. Okay. The Pasuk that we're going to read on Tisha B'Av, and the Neviim tell us, Pasuk number six here. Koyama Hashem, al yishalel chochem b'chochmosai, the chochem should not be mishalel with his chochma, v'al yishalel ha'gibor b'gvurosai, neither the gibor with his might, Al Yishalel Oshir Ba'oshrei, neither the wealthy person in his wealth. Don't be mishalel in these things. Ki im b'zois yishalel ha-mishalel. This is what the mishalel should be mishalel. Haskel v'yadur isi. In the understanding and knowledge of me, says Hashem. It's just a basic question. If we're on the surface, on the face of it, it sounds like persons shouldn't be boasting and lauding themselves for their wisdom and their might and their wealth, but rather their knowledge of Hashem. But then it should say, Al Yahalel Odom Es Chochmosi. A person shouldn't praise that. What's this idea of mishalel, which is in the reflexive? Moreover, he said, don't praise yourself for what you know. And then it says that you should be mishalel in knowing Hashem. What's going on? I think the answer is, we have to know, and this is where we come back to the idea of halel. What is halel? What is the distinct nature of halel? In distinction to all the other forms of praise. Halel is miloshein, to shine. Like we find number 7 here, Poskin Iyov. Im era or ki yoel. If I will see light, ki yoel, as it shines. Yohel is a loshen of shining. We find it elsewhere as well in Iyov. Or yohel, or will light will shine. And that some of the Mefarshim explain this, that loshen of halel comes from this idea of shining. There's a form of praise which is generic, and there's a form of praise which is specific. There you point out something, you shed light on it, so to speak. You enlighten something, and you say, this is an incredible thing. You point to something, and you emphasize it. That's a form of halal, and that's a form of praising the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you point to something specific, and you see the Kedushah there, and you realize it's the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the picture. And that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is telling us. Al yishalel odom, b'chochmosai. Don't take that beak, don't take your focus. When you say, you put a spotlight on something, don't make that the focus. Not b'chochma, not in your might, and not in your financial means. Kim b'zois yishal ha-mishal. Where should you shine that inner focus? Mishalal is reflexive. Where should you put that focus? Haskel v'yadur oisi, with your relationship with me. Yadur oisi, yadir always means connection. V'yeda odom ischava ishtoi, he knew his wife. Rashi explains that was coming together with her. Yadir, chibul, connection. Yadur oisi. That's how a yid should define themselves. Not by the possessions, not by their physical stature, their beauty, but rather with their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the and we speak about that Noivach didn't have Kiyom, this always has Kiyom, because it's unshakable, because our Kesher with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, no matter where we go and what we do, can never be shaken. Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, we're children, Zogt the Gemara, Ben Kach Uben Kach, at the end of the day, they are children. Reb Meir Omer, Ben kach u ben kach, atem kuim bonim. The pasuk says bonim scholim, zerem mereim, bonim mashchisim. Again, the haftorim, parashas chazoin, they've gone off the way. Bonim mashchisim abo al kaponim, they're bonim. The pasuk also says, vayah b'mokim asher, yom alehem lo yami, ye'oma, where the goyim will say, these are not the nation of Hashem, ye'om alehem b'nei kel chai, they're still my children. Maisa with Ravan of Kalin, and the Talmudim came to him and asked him a very audacious question. They asked the Rebbe, what is the greatest Avera that Ayid can do? What's the worst thing? It's quite an audacious question. Put down his head a couple of minutes, raised his head and said, the greatest Avera Ayid can do is to forget that he's a Ben HaMelech. To forget that Kesha that we have with Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which is untouchable, it has Kiyum. Unlike when we put our self-value identity in the possessions that we have. It's not only in terms of physical possessions, but we see also when we put, it's also about what we do. If we make our self-worth dependent on them, even the mitzvahs that we do, it's also dangerous. And we find a mole that a younger man leaves Kailal, an average leaves Kailal, and his entire self-worth was based on the hours that I'm learning in the base of Medrash. Well, you change that, suddenly he goes out to work, and there's a shake-up, a crisis of identity. I don't know who I am anymore, because the self-worth was dependent on hours, was dependent on action. But we have to know that even when it comes to mitzvahs, it's not just about the mitzvahs that we do, it's about the kesher, it's about who we are, integrity. And that makes it a much more stable way. The Eivishter wants me to be here now, the Eivishter wants me doing something else now, chibav ha-mitzvahs. And therefore we don't get such a shaken up when we have to change. We have to know it's in chinuch as well, how we label ourselves, how we label our children. I think we're all familiar with the idea now that screaming at a child, you're a shoiter, is probably not the best way to build a positive self-image, correct? It's a big label stick and they become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But we have to be careful even with the good labels that we give, right? When a child does something, yeah, he helps to clear the Shabbos table after the meal. She does, whatever. They're preparing. And you say, you're such a good boy, you're such a good girl. We make that child's self-worth dependent on what they just did. That means if I'm mole, they don't do it, and I'm mole, they mess up, I'm a bad boy. I'm inherently bad. And the Eibishter says, no, bonim atem, ben kach u ben kach bonayim. It doesn't matter what you do, so to speak. You always have that inherent value. A valid person does such a thing as a rosha, and a valid does such a thing as tshuva. But you have to know that there's an inherent value and worth of a b'nei elikim, b'nei kelchai, that is untouchable, and we have to remember that, and we have to infuse that into our children. At the same time, there are some mitzvahs that change who we are as people. It can upgrade us, so to speak. There are mitzvahs which are outside of us, lulav, tefillin, tzitzis, etc. But there are mitzvahs who change who we are. B'toras Hashem, cheftzoy, before we learn Toras Hashem, soy rossoy yege, explains Rav Schwab. After we've learned the Torah, it's soy rossoy, it's your Torah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, kol mi she'usik b'Torah tadir, harei zeh mis'ala. It raises you up as an individual. Malbashtoy anova v'yiro. It gives you all these great qualities. Machsharti li tzaddik. And the Gemara says in Makkos, Kamatip shoy bavloi, how foolish are those Babylonians. The Kaimim Makame Sefer Torah, when the Sefer Torah comes out, they open up the Aron and everyone gets up. And the Talmud Chacham walks into the room and everyone stays seated because they don't understand that a Talmud Chacham is an andrus sort mensch. He's a different kind of individual. Someone who learns and is connected with Torah is a totally different identity. Another middah is emes. When we don't speak sheker and we are mistabik with midas ha-emes, then we become a totally different kind of person. Such a word is powerful, and we possibly also say beginning, lo yachel tevoroi, a person don't be mechalal what you say, kechol yetz mipiv yase. What's the hemshech ha-pasuk? Like everything that comes out of the mouth you shall do, there's a hemshech there. If you don't make mundane your words, then everything that you shall say will come about as well. That's the power of Pi Tzadik. And the middah of Emes is very challenged. A couple of months ago, I had a problem with someone bashed into my car. I wasn't there at the time. They left a note on the car. Like, this is my number, etc. I took my car to the garage and I showed him the note, whatever, and the mechanic was astounded. He said, I can't believe it. People never do. He said, can I have that note, please? I said, sure. He took the note and he put it on the notice board behind him. So everyone should see what is their model. So there's still their model in the world. And then he leaned over the table and said to me, I see you've got some other scratches on your car there. So I'll tell you what, I'll put it all in one invoice and we'll invoice the guy for everything. Well, hold up. My father once got a call.
What was the end of the story?
What's that? What was the end of the story? I didn't do it. But MS, I didn't go for it. Okay, fine. Now, a father gets a call from his son's school. And, you know, you get the call and it's the school on the... His heart's pumping. He sees the caller ID. He picks up the phone. And so on the end of the phone is the manal. And he says, Mr. Cohen, I'm sorry to tell you, but... And we don't understand what's going on with your son. He keeps on stealing the school stationery. He keeps on taking pens from the Rebbe. The father says, I can't understand this. I've always bring back plenty of pens back from the office. He doesn't need to take anything back from it. So we need to make sure Kachol Yetzim Sivyasa impart to our children who we really are, who identity really is, and not make it tolerably dependent on those things which are outside of us.
Sorry,
I didn't understand.
Good.
Alright, let's take another part of the Seder. This is
Sorry if I ask you that.
There's an interesting Rasha. Rasha says, after Sheni, Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to go to war with Midian. And the Eibusha says to him, Nekoim nik maspena yisua ma'es medyunem, take revenge. After Sheni, the first pusik after Sheni. Achate usef alamecho, unfortunately the sad revelation that this was going to follow with his demise and he's going to pass on to a better world. This is the last war. And Rasha says there at this point, Rasha says there that from here we see that Moshe Rabbeinu embraced the mitzvah besimcha. Just try and find it. Here we are. Yeah. That you see the notwithstanding that Moshe Rabbeinu learned from this that immediately after this he's going to pass on to a better world. He went and performed the mitzvah of Nikmas Midyon and to take this war, and he did not delay. So the question we ask now, first of all, is simply, Rashi deduces, makes an assumption that Moshe Rabbeinu did it besimcha. It's fine, but how do we know this? So you say because he went about it straight away. Well, the Moshe gave him a tzivui. What else should he have done? But if you look carefully in the Lushan, let's understand one thing, that this revenge against Midian was twofold. One part of this revenge was because there was something done against the Rebbein Shalolam, and another part of the revenge was because something was committed heinously against Klal Yisur. Against the Rebbein Shalolam, because the fact is that a ruach of znus and immorality and promiscuity descended upon the world, that 24,000 people died as a result, but as far as the Rebbein Shalom's principles of upholding a certain element of Kedisha, here you got a freehold, like a mass orgy of men and women engaging in po'er, and it was an outbreak of lust which has never been seen in the Torah to such an extent. And so the Rebbein Shalom said, this is something that has got to be taken into account. They're accountable for what they've done. That was one nekuma. But the second nekuma was against the Yidden, because there were people who... There was a toll. The toll was 24,000 victims. And Klal Yisrael now had to come to terms with the fact that here, this one's missing a brother, this one's missing a father, this one's missing a son. And they've all been involved. 24,000 people perished. Now, if you look at the Pusik, you'll see Nekoyim Nikmas B'na Yisur Meis HaMedyunim was the Rebbein Shalom's instruction. The Eibishter said to Moshe, I want you to take the Nekuma of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, as far as I'm concerned, the vengeance is that you lost 24,000 Yidden. This needs to be avenged. Moshe Rabbeinu could have perfectly, legitimately related the instruction exactly as he heard it. The Nekuma was for Bnei Yisrael. But says Vaidabe Moshe Elohom, when he related to the people, what did he say? Let's go to war. Why? The Nekuma was one for the Rebbein Shlodah. Keep the host that Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that Klal Yisrael would make a simple deduction. If we go to war now, then the next thing is we're going to lose our leader. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go to a better world. Let's delay it. Let's play a delay tactic. And we'll sit down, we'll have a committee meeting like all Jewish people, and then after 3 months later we've decided that the committee is useless and we'll find another chairman. Until we get to the point, it'll take a while before we go to war and the Val will hold on to our leader. So Moshe Rabbeinu took all this into consideration. And he switched the words and he changed it. The Bein Shalom said to him, Nikdas B'nai Yisrael, he knew that the Yid will say, if it's for us, it's in a mavata, a big deal, it's gefährlich. Take your time. So he said, no. Hacholzim mitchem anushim latzuvu, v'yi al midyon itin b'sashem b'midyon. So therefore, the Nekuma is the Rebbein Shalom's Nekuma. We have to avenge the fact that this looseness that was there, that was descended as a result of Midyon, has got to be eradicated. Meile versteht man sehr geht der Rasche. Because it says that the we said the Afal Pisha Shuma Shemisus Tani Beduva Usa Besimcha Velo Icha. We said, how do you know this? The answer is that because if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu would have just followed the script, then he would have just had the Kum of Bnei Yisrael and could have delayed it. The very fact that he changed from Likas Bnei Yisrael to Nikmas Hashem is a similar that he did in Besimcha. That is one part of it. There's another element of a juxtaposition, to use the art school terminology. That is the fact that Hagulas Kelim is interestingly immediately after this war. They went to war with Midian, and then afterwards they got this instruction. And the beginning of the Pasha starts of the Kemnikas Bnei Yisrael Achat Yosef Lamech. What's the smichas of the Inyan of Agulas Kailam to this war? So it's very, very beautiful. I saw this in a cipher which just I came across last week, Mamash, just by chance, in my father-in-law's house in New York. I don't even remember the name of the cipher, but I was leafing through it. I came to Matas, I looked at this, and he says, he brought down a Gemurah in Sanhedrin. The Gemurah in Sanhedrin says, in Lamates, that there was Haimina, a certain heretic. And this heretic came and confronted none other than Rabavu. He says to Rabavu, it's like this, Elekaichem Koenhi. Rabbein Shlolam is ostensibly a Koen. So Rabavu is waiting for him to continue. He says, yeah. He says in the Torah, Yikhuli Terumo. Take for me, Lilishmi. So therefore, if he's taking Terumo, then it's a clue, it's a Halzach Vakoyen. He buried Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah? It says so clearly, Vayik Boise Bagai. So the Min asked, Abavu, explain, how does he manage to, the Rebbein Shlom keeps the Torah? It says clearly, the Rebbein Shlom holds the Torah. If he keeps the Torah, then how can he possibly bury Moshe and afterwards be in the Matzav of Tumah as a Hakoyen? So he said to Moshe, you know what, I'll postulate straight away for you a possible answer. Maybe you think that he toiled himself in water, the Rebbein Shlom. It can't be, because this is a very learned mean. Obviously, he was a heretic who knew stuff. There's a pusik in Yeshaya that can't be in water, because the pusik in Yeshaya says, Mi moided b'sho'olo imayim, who measures the waters of the world with his fist. Kaviyuchel, that the entire oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, all of them are coming to the Rebbein Shlom's fist, as small as that. How could he toivel in them if they can all fit into his hand? So he didn't, and he keeps the Torah. So how did he manage this? So Rabbi Voris said to him, he immersed himself in fire. Because the Pusik in Yeshaya, you just brought the Pusik in Yeshaya, says very clearly, Ki hinei Hashem, Bu'esh Yuvoy, the Rebbein Shlom comes and he's entered into fire. If he enters into fire, then he's got ability to tovel himself through that. This was Rabbi Vui's answer. So the Min said, since when can you tovel yourself in fire? So Rabbi Vui immediately answered from this week's Seder. Parshas Matos, Shtait, V'choil Ashe Loi Yuvoi Bu'esh, only something that cannot come into fire to be kashered. Ta'aviru Bamoyim. The second best is to tovel. So therefore, you can see that clearly the Rabbein Shalom is using the ultimate Tahara, and that is Esh. And since the Rabbein Shalom is Hashem Bo Esh Yuvoi, that's how he toiveled himself. Azu steht in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And now, you just see that there's a very, very interesting smichas. The juxtaposition is just that. Rabbein Shalom says to Moshe, Nekoyim nikmas b'nai yisur ma'is ha'medyunim. And then he says to him, Achate usef alamecho, you're going to pass on to a better world. And if you're going to die, then who's going to be koy for you? I have to. If I have to be koy for you, then I've got to have a means of introducing the aluchas of Hagulas Kailem. So the mind of the smichas of the next pasha was just that, telling you exactly the halucha of a choyla shel a yuvoi bo'esh, taviru b'mayim. If you can't do it through fire, then you should do it through water. And that essentially was the indication to the mean to quiet them from his tongue. By the nish?
When? What's the rider was recent? He was not sinful. He was doing a bezrizah siyah. Of a besilchi, he did not but they might be reluctant. They might not be so happy about it. He's doing the Rabbi Shalom Christ and get them up. They have to do something. Just, I know, I understand. But the Rabbi
not
It was a something a new one. I didn't come across it before.
Very nice. It's not still Scheingerät. You know how to get it. Scheingerät. Schlammelgerät. Huh? Schlammelgerät. Yeah, but it's still the Neubach. We had it. Neubach. Alex Strummel was used to say about me. You know, so if you're Neubach.
That answer is one of
his
favorites.
Sorry?
What did you get up to?
Well, you can see where the highlights are. But I haven't had this. Remind people.
Yeah. Thank you.